And now your host, Jim Dearman.
Did you ever play the game, Simon Says? Today we're going to study a Simon in the Scriptures who says some very important things to us spiritually. The account is found in Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. Let's read those verses as we begin our study together today. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and she began to wash his feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hair of her head, and she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." So he said, "Teacher, say it." There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. "Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have rightly judged." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Then he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." What a beautiful account this is. Simon, in this account, has something to say to us as a result of the Lord's encounter with him. And today, I'd like for us to hear three things. Three things Simon says to you and to me. First of all, from this account, Simon says to us, self-satisfaction is sin. You see, Simon was a Pharisee. The very word indicates being separate. And certainly separation is not sinful. However, the Pharisees took it too far. The sin of self-satisfaction allows us to be respectable, maintaining a form of religion, but with no spiritual progress. In another part of the Gospel according to Luke, in Luke chapter 18, there's another Pharisee mentioned there who went to the temple to pray. You may recall the account and how he really thanked God that he was not like other people, not like the publican who was also there praying at the same time. In other words, he congratulated himself on how good he was. Will Rogers once said, "I always like to hear a man talk about himself because then I never hear anything but good." Well, why does the Lord condemn this attitude? It's because this attitude bars the way to penitence. You see, there is no penitence when there is no recognition of sin. We have to recognize that we are sinners. And we have to recognize that we need God, we need Jesus Christ, in order to obtain forgiveness of those sins. And so, an attitude that bars the way to a recognition of sin and repentance is an attitude that cannot be pleasing to God. It's also an attitude that is condemned because it means that better living is impossible. You see, a self-satisfied person will not grow. He simply won't grow as he should. And what causes this attitude? It's really caused by being content with a low standard. You see, if we set our own standard, we'll always attain it, won't we? Think about that. If you are the one setting your standard, you'll attain it. The Pharisees generally judge themselves by their own standard. And sometimes even those who are members of the Lord's church have set their own standards. They have set their own standards of faithfulness in attendance, money, manner of worship, marriage, modesty, various things in which they have set their own standards rather than looking to the higher standard that God sets for them. You see, there is no higher standard than that which God has set for Christians. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Matthew 5, verse 48. In the Philippian letter, in Philippians 2 and verse 5, the Apostle Paul said, "Have this mind in you. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And in that context, it is a mind far from self-satisfaction, obviously. It's a mind of humility, because in that epistle, in the Philippian letter, in chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, as we read further, we see that the attitude that Christ had in being in the form of God, but not considering it robbery to be equal with God, and making himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man. And verse 8 of that text says, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And so, when Paul says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus," in that immediate context, it's a mind of humility. It is a mind that recognizes on our part the need for dependence upon God. You see, Jesus was equal with God, but he humbled himself, took upon himself the form of a servant. And we must humble ourselves. Now, the Pharisee in Luke 18, in that prayer to God, was not a humble man at all. And Simon here, the Pharisee in the text in Luke 7, has a problem with self-satisfaction as well. And so, we should have a healthy dissatisfaction. That's an important concept to appreciate. Christians should have a healthy dissatisfaction. In Philippians chapter 3, the same epistle we just noted in Philippians 2, 5-8 on humility, in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, the Apostle Paul there wrote, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Now there's the healthy dissatisfaction that the Christian should have. Grow in grace and knowledge, Peter wrote in 2 Peter 3, 18. Grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But formalism can cause this attitude. You see, the Pharisees were satisfied to clean the outside, but they neglected self-examination. And that's another thing that can cause this self-satisfaction attitude. Neglecting to examine one's self. And yet in 2 Corinthians 13, 5, we're told to do just that. To try our own selves, whether we are in the faith. To prove yourselves. And the standard against which we prove ourselves is the Word of God. And so in the first place, Simon says self-satisfaction is sin. That's one of the lessons we learn from this Simon in Luke chapter 7. But also, from verse 39 of Luke 7 in this text, we see that Simon says we need to see the soul of the sinner. We need to see the soul of the sinner. And Simon had a problem with that. Remember verse 39 we read a few moments ago? When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, that is, saw the woman washing his feet with her tears, wiping them with the hair of her head, and anointing his feet with the oil and so forth. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself. He said to himself, you see, this man, meaning Jesus, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. Well, you see the problem? He didn't see the soul of this woman. Jesus did. Jesus saw the souls of sinners, the most precious commodity that anyone possesses, the immortal soul. He saw the soul here, Jesus did, of this sinful woman. He saw the same in the woman in John chapter 8. He recognized the preciousness of the soul of the woman in John chapter 4, the woman at the well. Yes, we must hate sin, but we must love sinners. We can never condone sin. If we do, we have failed to show love for the sinner. Jesus said, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." Simon failed to make a very important distinction between the sinner and her sins. He failed to see the intrinsic, priceless value of her soul. But finally, a third thing Simon says, he says, "See yourself as forgiven, but not favored. See yourself as forgiven, but not favored. You see, Simon did not view forgiveness as did this sinful woman because he did not see sin as she did. And so Jesus, see, put the question to him. He said, there's this debtor, this creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, the other 50, and when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. And then the question, tell me therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, Jesus said to him, you have rightly judged. And so he talks about the woman's sins down in verse 47 that are many, and her sins which were many were forgiven, and so she loved much. And then he said, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. You see, that addresses our attitude toward sin. Simon really didn't view forgiveness in the same way as did this sinful woman because he did not see sin as she did. And yet all have sinned and all need forgiveness. And our attitude toward sin will determine our attitude toward service. Gratitude prompts us to love much and to serve out of love. This woman no doubt left the presence of her Lord as a loving servant. Jesus told her, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Go in peace. The peace that comes from the knowledge of forgiveness is truly the peace that passes all understanding. Only the forgiven in Christ can appreciate it, and they alone can allow it to prompt them to a higher level of love and labor with each passing day. The sinful woman in Luke 7 came to know that peace. We're not told if Simon ever saw for himself what Simon says to us by his actions, that self-satisfaction is sin, that we need to see the soul of the sinner, and that we need to see ourselves as forgiven if we are truly forgiven, not favored. Realizing these things, we, like the sinful woman, may go in peace. What about you today? Can you say that you are at peace? At peace with God, that's the most important peace that must be made. And it can only be made by obedience to the gospel of God's dear Son, His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And that peace comes by a belief in Christ that manifests itself in full repentance of sin, a confession of Jesus as the Christ, and a burial and baptism for the remission of sins to be added to His church, and faithfulness therein, even unto death. Until next time, I'm Jim Dearman with Truth for the World.